him, we have to first understand that worshiping God is ultimate. That's what we are created for. And we should worship him. And so you would find that the whole of this year, for the first few weeks of this year, we have started a series called Gospel Shape Worship. And we are doing that at our Sunday school, Real Talk in the Morning. We will be preaching from the pulpit on worship. And we will also be studying this on Wednesdays during our Wednesday Bible studies. We will do this for the next few period until we finish the book. It's actually supposed to take 7 weeks. So for the next few 7 weeks, we are going to take time to study on what it really means to worship God. Because in our modern day, the world that we live in now, worship has been misunderstood. Worship has been misconstrued. And I don't blame anyone but the kingdom of darkness, because they know very well that if a child of God is to understand what it means to really worship God, that would be the end of their works. And the kingdom of darkness would not mean anything else. And so we give praise to God and we give him thanks that he's calling us to a place of worship. Please begin to devote yourself to true worship. Bring yourself to that place of worshiping God in truth and in spirit. But coming into this passage here, Psalm 96, which is believed to have been written by King David, but the Holy Spirit, speaking through King David, wrote this. I'm going to focus on the first 10 verses, but I'll read the whole 13th passage. Sing, please, if you do not have a Bible, there's a Bible in front of you under the seat. You can use that. And let us read the Bible, please, the Word of God. In Psalm 96, the Word of God says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the people with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his faithfulness. Glory to God. This is the word of God. Today I'm speaking on a call to worship the great Lord. A call to worship the great Lord. The writer starts by saying, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. And the first three verses focuses on calling us to worship, to praise and to worship. It focuses on calling us to worship. And he calls on earth, the humans, us, all creation to sing a song. And so the writer says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. God loves to receive our worship. God loves to receive our praises. God loves for us to come with blessings and worship of songs to him. God wants us to do this. This passage tells us, he says, he is commanding and he is calling all of us to do this. All creation to do this. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. A new song. Which means that don't come to God, in as much as it is good to always give him praise, to worship him and to give him glory and honor and all the things that we do, he says that sing to him a new song. The songs have to be new. So it is good that we have very good songs of the old. It is good to sing those songs. It is good that we have songs which are in 2019. It's good to sing those songs. But the writer says that sing to him a new song. It focuses on intentionality. You see, the child of God that is calling on God must begin to be intentional, to begin to be fresh. Many of us have stopped being fresh. Many of us have gone into a routine. Worshiping God has become a routine. Let me give you an example. We used to live in Jersey City before we moved just a few months here. I think 2 months now. We always traveled from Jersey City to this place. I am the driver of the family. Except I have nothing to do, I'm always asked to drive. So I have assumed my place as the driver. The moment when we come out, I go to the driving side. And so for the past about 1.5 years, I have been driving us back and forth from Jersey City, moving the car from the parking lot here and driving us to Jersey City. Coming to Kearney has become a routine, a normal thing for me. I can close my eyes and drive home to our house in Jersey City without sweat. I know the path. I know all the places. I know the different times to choose different routes. I know how to escape all the traffic to get to Jersey City. And so one time I was in the office late in the night. I finished here. I closed all the doors. I prayed and I committed myself into God's hands and I got in the car. We had moved here and I realized that I was on Route 7 going to Jersey City. I got in the car. I prayed, Lord, I commit myself into your hands. May you take me home safely to my family. And I pray as I go home, may I go and meet peace at home. And I drove to Jersey City. You see, that is serious, right? I'm going home. It had become a routine. It's a routine journey for me. And so now when I'm moving the car, I got to stop and think, I'm going to Madison Avenue. It is here on the left. You see how funny that is? I have to be intentional in getting home to my house in Madison Avenue. And many Christians has gone into that routine. It has become a normal thing. We know what song the praise and worship team are going to bring up. Oh, after this song, they are going to sing that song. And we literally jump into it. Some of us know the word of God by heart. Oh, you are speaking to your pastor, and before he finishes quoting the word of God, you have completed it for him. The Christian life had become a routine. It is not intentional anymore. It is not fresh anymore. And so, it doesn't really matter to God how we come. But God is saying, come to me. And this time when you are coming, I want you to come really knowing that you are coming to a supreme God. You are coming to a Lord. It has to be something that has really been taught about. It has to be something that you really want to do and not just a routine, not a formality, not a regular thing, but you mean to really do it. You see, when you have to take your time to write a new song, you just won't get up and write. You have to make sure that the song that you are writing has meaning. You give thought to whether it means something or not. When I hear a new song on the radio, I just don't jump into liking it. I pay attention to really pay focus on the words. Do these words really worship God, exalt God? Should I really pay attention to these things? The writers spend time in making sure that the song means something. And so the writer is calling us to bring ourselves to a place of really meaning to God. In 2020, the new year that we have started, we cannot continue the way we continued in 2019. The things we did in 1614 all the way till now, even though they were good, God is saying begin to think about more creative and innovative ways. Begin to be intentional. Begin to mean. Begin to be fresh and bring fresh things to me so that it might cause you to be more attentive to who you are calling upon. Child of God, we got to begin to reflect on our lives. We've got to begin to ask ourselves every time we wake up and we jump and we kneel down and we are praying, whether we really want to pray or we just want to take the box that we have prayed. You've got to stop and think. And so, ministry leaders here, I want to encourage you to stop and think of the activities you want to embark on this year. Fathers here, I want you to stop. I want to encourage you to stop and ask yourself, the things I do that my children see. Mothers, I want to encourage you to begin to be intentional. Begin to reflect on your life. Bring yourself to that place. Bring yourself to that place. And so the writer goes ahead and he says, proclaim the good news of his salvation. Proclaim the good news of his salvation. You and I must begin to focus on God's salvation. You see, it is by God's grace we are seated here and can call ourselves his children. The word of God says that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. God came in the form of Jesus Christ to die for you and I. And the word of God continues in that same passage that they that accepted the Son, they were given the right to become sons of God. And so because you and I, we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior, we are sons of God. We understand that we are saved from the power of sin. We understand that we are delivered from evil. We understand that all the favors of heaven are our portion. And so because of that, we are walking in some kind of authority. We are walking in some kind of freedom, hope. We are walking in some kind of joy and jubilation. We are overcoming difficult situations because we know that we have a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. And we are proud and confident about this. But the Lord is saying, proclaim the good news of all. Proclaim the good news of his salvation. Inasmuch as God has saved you and I, we need to begin to understand that part of worshiping him is also proclaiming it to others. The good things that God has done for you and I, We have to begin to proclaim it in our world. We have to begin to tell people. We have to share the gospel, the good news, the thing that Jesus did for you and I, and is doing for you and I, and the things that he's going to do in this year. You've got to begin to share them with others. You've got to begin to share the Lord's salvation. We live in a world of turmoil. We live in a world of division. We live in a world of fear. We live in a world that has fallen from the state in which God created it. And so, when we can experience good and begin to share it with others, we bring the courage of God. We bring the newness of God. We bring the freshness of God to people. And he says, go ye to the nations and preach the gospel. The good news with others. You can't keep it in your living room, my dear sister. You can't keep it in your car. Some of us are only good when we get in our car. We rejoice and we sing our worship cars, songs, and we praise God in our car. Oh, I love him, Lord Jesus. Sometimes we almost even get into an accident and we're like, oh, Holy Ghost, thank you. Oh, yeah. And we are still driving. The moment we get to the parking lot and we park our car and we get down, we are not Christians anymore. Somebody steps on your foot a bit. Hey! Your neighbor who does not know Jesus, or your colleague in the office who does not know Jesus, you fear your friends in school who do not know Jesus, begin to talk about their morning. Oh, my morning is not going well. My husband did this. And then you too, you continue. You forgot that you were telling some God how great he is, how awesome he is, how loving he is, how grateful you are to him. Why can't you share this with others? We got to proclaim it. Proclaim. Proclaim. Share it. You see, it is up to the person that is hearing whether they want it or not. But you ask for you. The Lord is telling us that you should take on that responsibility. It shouldn't be down to the person whether the person will accept it or not. And you see, the plan and the agenda of the kingdom of darkness is to make you think that they don't want it. But the word of God says that we should just sow the seed. We should just sow the seed. And he who brings conviction, he is the one that will work on the person's heart. Many of us are not sowing seeds. Oh, these people, they don't want to hear about Jesus. Why should I talk to them? I'm okay. Let me just do my thing and leave them to do their thing. They don't want to know. So, hello. The Lord is not saying, don't wait. Don't wait. The Lord is saying, don't wait. Tell them regardless. You see, we have to respect people's boundaries. We have to have love and respect for people. But what we are experiencing, what we have, is such news that we cannot hide. The mercies and the love and the kindness and the compassion, the experience we get from knowing Jesus, we cannot keep it to ourselves. If a child of God is really moved with encountering Jesus, you cannot afford to come out and not share Jesus with someone. That is why the place of encounter is very important in a child of God's life. If you are not spending time to encounter him, you will not have a testimony. You will not have anything good to say. You will be experiencing the same things the ungodly person is experiencing. Meanwhile, Jesus has come to die to save you and I free. We are free. You see, I know a pastor friend who got home and all his family were sick. He got home, his wife is in bed having headache. His children are coughing. They are all crying in the house. And he said, what is happening? His wife said, the children are not well. I'm not well. We are not feeling well. And he said, no, not in this house. It is the ungodly who are supposed to experience these things. And he stood in his house and he said, in the name of Jesus, I command anything that has entered into my house that is not of Jesus to leave this house. By the evening, his children were happy running around. His wife was all happy cooking in the kitchen. You know, sometimes, children of God, we need to understand who we are in Christ. Jesus has given us liberty. You know, you have not lost in anything. The sins that you are battling with, the challenges that you are going through, you are not a loser in them. You have won already. Jesus has overcome. Jesus has overcome. The word of God says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We have overcome. Jesus is dying on the cross. Then that's why Jesus also said it is finished on the cross. And so we are victorious. We are waging the war. We are fighting a battle from a winning side. Satan knows this, but he will want you to believe you are not a winner. He will try to intimidate you. He will try to make you be afraid. He will make you think that he is in control. But the child of God that is experiencing Jesus, that is living in the joyful life of Jesus, must walk around in that confidence. And in that confidence, you declare Jesus with others. Proclaim. Proclaim. Do not wait for them to ask you. Proclaim either way. And you see, if you are becoming intentional, you also, if you are becoming intentional in worshiping God and becoming fresh in worshiping God, he, by his grace, will also always give you intentional and creative ways of sharing and proclaiming the gospel. He will always give you creativity. The Lord is a creator. The Lord is a creator. He called things that do not exist into existence. And so why would he not give you creativity? The Holy Ghost that is in your life creates every minute, every second, every hour. He's creating new things. Every time the alarm system goes off in an hospital, a new child is being born and all the nurses and all the experts run into that room and the child is coming out and they are pulling that child out. A new creation is coming into this world. Every time a seed is sprouting up, a new creation is coming into this world. Every time the sun has to come out with its light, it's a new creation. We are enjoying creation on a daily and a second basis. And so child of God can begin to also be creative. We can be creative. We can be creative. He says that from day to day, the good news of his salvation. He doesn't say in season and out of season. He doesn't say sometimes. He says day to day, constant basis. Constant basis. Declare his glory. We have to declare the glory of God. The experience that we are having. The unique encounter of him. We have to. You see, the glory here, the Hebrew word that is used there is kabod. The kabod refers to something that is impressive. God is always impressing us. It refers to something that is impressive and weighty, heavy. And God is always doing this. His presence is weighty, it's heavy, it's awesome, it's unique, it's special. And he says, I share this with others. Let them begin to know that the world that we are in as it is now is not what it's supposed to be. It's not what it's supposed to be. And so when you look at 4-6, God is not only telling us to worship him, and that's the end. Come with me in 4-6, please, in your Bibles. Why should we give our all? Why should we even pay attention to this God? He says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. If this God created all the universe, then isn't he great? You know, if he didn't even do anything for you and I, just by the mere fact that you came into this world, you deserve to give him praise. That is why we are indebted to praising God. None of us are a source. Abba means source. From him, from out of him, everything came into existence. None of us are sources. We are consumers. All we do is take, 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 take. And we take from him. He allows us to enjoy his greatness. And so we are indebted to give him any praise. Not just that, for the Lord is great. Apart from him being our creator, and in he himself, in that which he has done, is great. Have you ever sat down to begin to even think, how does the world exist? I don't know why scientists try to get their minds around this. You got to respect scientists, you know. They are wasting time trying to put something that they don't have an answer to. And they have brains to really calculate it. But we understand that the world was formed at the command of God. And that the whole world, the foundations of the earth, are held together by his word. And then look at this. Oh my Lord Jesus. He is to be feared above all gods. He is to be feared above all gods. A god is something you love. You give deity to. You give honor to. You bow to. You surrender to. And there are certain things in this world that people call gods. But you see, when you go on to the second line, it says, idols. These gods are all idols. You see, an idol, let me take some time to explain what an idol is. Please come with me in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 4. So let us look at what the Bible says about an idol. So then, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 4. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that this is not God, but one. Do you get it? An idol, let me read it again. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world. So, an idol is something that is worthless. It has no meaning. It's nothing. It has no profit. To even get our attention in relating to God, an idol is waste of time. It is nothing, useless. It is useless. It gives you no profit. It adds nothing to your eternal existence. But yet still, we give our all to these things. Whatever that may be. An idol, as I said, might be something you pay attention to. But what an idol is something that has no worth. And so we have many people in our world now, many Christians who have idols, but yet still, that thing has no worth. Why do people waste their time on these things? I want to go to Job. Let's go to Job, please. Job 13, verse 4. Job chapter 13, verse 4, please. I hear some of us opening our passages. I want to wait for us to get there. I know the digital people are there already. Please hold on. Job chapter 13, verse 4. The writer says, however, smear me with lies. You are worthless physicians. All of you know that word that has been used there, worthless physicians, is the same word that is used in the passage we are looking at. Idol. Useless, worthless, it has no worth. An idol has no worth. It can't add anything to you. All it does is take from you, take your attention off of God, and make you lose your place, your eternal place with God. But today, I want to encourage you that as you are a child of God, seeking to honor God, begin to understand that you cannot place value on anything that has value, that does not have value in your eternal existence. Only God. Only God. Many of us have begun to pay honor to people. We respect people. We respect. It could be all sorts of things. Family. We were downstairs studying about worship, and it's amazing what people think worship is. And even in our class, we began to realize that, hold on, there are things we are placing. You see, the idol can be anything that is consumed you. It's basically something that takes more of your time in thinking, in existence, than even God. Some of us, all we are about is our families. Some of us, all we are about is our jobs. Some of us, all we are about is something, some car. Some of us are engulfed with TV idols. We know, I have a friend I was chatting with, and this guy began to tell me about David Beckham. Oh my goodness. I didn't know people can waste time on such things. What David Beckham eats, his meal, his three-course meal that he eats, he knows. And so while he was going on, I started weeping in my heart. And I asked him, my dear brother, the way you know about David Beckham and how he lives his life, do you know the word of God like that? How does Jesus relate with you? Do you know, what did Jesus say to you this morning? He started, oh, I so crazy you every time you are going deep. I'm like, hello? Children of God, we live in a world where if we are not careful, Satan will keep us busy for nothing. Don't give anything to him this year. And if you can begin to focus on Jesus, if you can begin to be where Jesus is, oh Lord Jesus, the grace and the favor and the anointing and the power that you will carry to fulfill your destiny, you will be shocked. The illnesses and the diseases will leave you. They won't even locate you. They can't find you. The word of God says you are seated in higher places with God. How can you be in higher places with God and a disease find you? In heaven, there is no disease. There is only good. That is what the word of God says. You see, John, when he saw heaven, he couldn't describe the things that he saw. He had to find the closest things to explain the aura of God. And I'm telling you, child of God, if you begin to even spend time with Jesus, he will take you to heaven and you will see it with your own eyes. When you go to heaven and you see what is there, you will not cherish anything on this earth. And which is why the writer says that we are in this world, but we do not belong to it. There is a song when I was growing up that was sung, which was, we are in this world. This world is not my own. I'm just in passing through. This world is not my own. I'm just in and I'm passing through. You see how you walk past houses when you're going to your house. That is how a child of God must begin to value his life and see his life. That the things that matter to ungodly people on this earth do not matter to you and I. God bless you. God favor you. And I pray that in 2020, you shall begin to realign yourself. You shall begin to realign your life. You shall begin to go back to your Bible and take your Bible and begin to meditate upon them. Look, let me tell you something. I was listening to a friend who was speaking to me from Ghana. So many prophets, so-called human beings calling themselves prophets, are all prophesying. There were so many prophecies. Some are saying this government will win the election, that government will win the election. And so people are like, so who is telling the truth? Child of God, don't run about people. Don't be busy chasing people. This prophet is here, then you are running there. Hey, this man of God is here, then you are running there. Hey, my child, my fellow brother and sister, we didn't come into the... All these people, they would die. Just as me and you would die. Where we will end up is what matters. Where we will end up is what matters. Whom you know when you get to the gates of heaven is what matters. It's not the boyfriend you have. It's not the boss who thinks he pays you. He keeps you. Guys, it's not the boss that signs your check that takes care of you. He would die just as you and I would die. So this year, begin to realign your life. What is the worth of my life if Jesus is not in charge? If the Holy Ghost is not leading me? Who am I? What am I? We live today. We exist only for today. And tomorrow we die. And the word of God says, after death is judgment. So this 2020, your agenda that you have, I want to become this, I want to become that. I want to have this car. I want to have this house. I want to buy my new house. I want to this. I want to that. It's good. My brother, I want them for you. Jesus wants them for you. But his word says that seek he first. Seek God first. The kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and all its righteousness. Be busy looking. Be busy. Be busy. What has captivated you? What has caught your attention? What has caused your focus to shift from Jesus? God bless you, child of God. God favor you this year. God increase you this year. God's love and engulf you in such a way that you can love him. God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to leave it here.